Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Have a breakthrough innovation in testing. We have to be able to detect antigens rather than constantly trying to detect the actual live virus or the viral particles itself, and to really move into antigen testing. And I know corporations and diagnostics are working on that now. We have to have a breakthrough. This RNA testing will carry us certainly through the spring and summer, but we need to have a huge technology breakthrough, and we're working on that at the same time.
Oh, yes, we do. That is Dr. Deborah Brix. She's talking from all that she's been watching and seeing daily since this whole thing started. She's part of that task force, of course, appointed by the president. And boy, do we need it. Deaths in the U.S., over 56,000. 56,000. But I like to look at the other side of that. Recovered 113,000 confirmed cases, over a million. You know, we first started talking about COVID-19. We talked about China and what was happening in Wuhan, and we talked with a reporter from China News who told us there were things that weren't adding up long before all of this hit on February 29th, and then pretty much the lockdown, I'll call it, on March 9th and 10th, when people were at events, and then suddenly that was it, and people were back from school, kids were back from school by at least the 12th or the 13th, and then the rest, sadly, is part of now our history in dealing with, for most of us, uncharted territory, certainly something that we knew, I think we knew, was a possibility. And yeah, I'll tell you what, you watch, and it's so eerily similar. Hollywood did nail this one. You get, if you watch the plot of, if you watch the plot of Contagious and you see what happened there, it's exactly, or Contagion, it's exactly, pretty eerily similar to what we are seeing, where you have, Gwyneth Paltrow, who's, plays this woman who comes back to Minnesota from a business trip in Hong Kong, and she feels like she has jet lag, something's wrong, but 2 days later she's dead. Her husband's shocked, and then things explode that it's this virus, and it in so many ways, sadly, is like what we are tragically going through now. What's going to happen as our lives change with masks and temperature checks and new normals, we'll call it, at restaurants, because there are many states that are starting to reopen, for lack of a better word, because I don't think it's reopen. It's like people are coming out and being able to go to certain things that they used to go and participate in, going out to dinner or lunch or breakfast or, you know, whatever, and going to the movies, for example, or going to the gym, or going to get their hair cut. And that's all already happened in Georgia, but other states are taking it a little bit more cautiously and not full bore opening everything up. And, of course, there is the social distancing, tables apart, new rules, if you will, for what's happening in public. A movie theater, for example, 25% capacity, not what it would be at the height of when there was a big release. So 25%, meaning there are seats that wouldn't be filled. And I'm wondering out loud what movies are coming up. We used to do the cheap movie review, and really there were so many movies that were shifted because of the coronavirus. Saddest story, I think, that I heard coming out of New York is one of the top Manhattan ER doctors committed suicide, just completely shaken by the onslaught of death and what she was dealing with the coronavirus, and had the coronavirus herself, had COVID-19, recovered from it, and was just battle weary. she tried to do her job as somebody said of her that she was incredibly skilled at her job. She was the head of the emergency department at a Manhattan hospital. But days after getting through what she went through and being on the front lines again, she, you know, had her, you know, had enough. There's also the story, sadly, as well, this also out of New York, of an EMT witnessing the virus's toll, and he had enough and fatally shot himself with a gun belonging to his retired New York City Police Department cop father. So there are some tragedies that are happening with the people on the front line. I think it's so important to remember what they're doing and the sacrifices they're making and what they're seeing, and especially in these high-risk areas, the dense areas, and how sad and tough and exhausted and all those things they are. In the meantime, as we just roll right into it, Kate Delaney, glad as always to be with you, and thank you so much for filling up the mailbag. Any thoughts, any heroes, let me know who they are in your neck of the woods. Go to katedelaneyradio.com. But how about the crowds at the beach in California? I mean, what are you idiots thinking of? You know, come on. I mean, here's the problem. This is what happened. So California now is stepping up enforcement again of public health restrictions because crowds jam beaches over the weekend. So Gavin Newsom immediately said on Monday, forget that. And this was what happened in Orange and Ventura counties because they allowed access to their beaches with the state parks still, of course, closed. So you had families who are going stir crazy, thinking, we're fine, we've done it, social distancing. So families, groups head to the ocean, and there's no social distancing when you're on top of each other. You got crowds. The beach was jammed. I mean, it was jammed. So now they're talking about issuing citations to people who are not just walking around the block. People who are parking, having picnics on top of each other. And this, the worry is, now will this mean that this virus is so transmissible as much as it's ever been, and it just doesn't take time off? I mean, this is a horrible, invisible threat that we're all dealing with. So don't go to the beach and jam the beach and think that's okay. Here's something else that's scary, is looking at what's happening to the people who are working in the meat packing industry, in these plants. More than a dozen states have closed them in recent weeks because of the virus spreading among the workforce. So beef, pork, chicken, you know, poultry, fish, and they're struggling to try to stay open because of these significant outbreaks. Tyson Food describes it as breaking the food chain and warning that millions of animals will need to be killed without being turned into food. It's taking its toll. So don't think that it looks like, whew, we may have gotten through the worst of this. There still is more there. There still is, as you heard the doctor at the top, hope. But it is about vaccines. It is about testing. If we could only all get tested, I think what a difference that would make in what we're seeing. All right, coming up next, I'm going to tell you about a woman who crushed it on the stock market, in fact, becoming the leader of the organization. Who is that? Her story on the flip side.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-Step Guide to Immunity for Life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Attention, gardeners. If you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Stacey Cunningham, the president of the New York Stock Exchange, started from the ground up, first as an intern, then trading on the floor, even bouncing to the Nasdaq Stock Exchange as the director of capital markets and sales for U.S. transactions. All of that experience landed her the presidency of the NYSE in 2018. She was asked once how she handled working in a mostly male environment, to which she replied, "By never showing any doubt about whether or not I should be where I was." I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. Yeah, an interesting time for Stacey Cunningham and everybody else, of course, when it comes to the stock market. As the NYSE president, she's not closing the New York Stock Exchange. There were some questions about that back in March with some of the struggles that were happening, because remember, we had the Dow having its worst point loss ever. However, we're starting to see that, yes, it's a roller coaster, but we're starting to have some bounces whenever there's good news, like stimulus checks, like, PPL, the loans, that comes out, then we see that more of the stocks start to soar on the optimism of what's going on economically in the world. Kate Delaney, once again, thanks for jumping in and diving into this show. A quick reminder, 24/7, we are open, baby. No plexiglass needed. Just go to katedelaneyradio.com to find out more about the show and also to send me your thoughts. Looking for some great stories to talk about from your area. Let us know. And I'll be sure to read them during our mailbag segment. All right, so here I kind of like to do an odds and ends. What happens is so much is coronavirus, because this is the world we live in and this is what we're dealing with. But there are, believe it or not, some other things that are happening in the world somewhat related to the coronavirus, but also pretty interesting, like the Alaska Girl Scouts that got a relief loan to cover cookie sales that were lost because of the pandemic. Yes, it's true. So sales of the cookies, you know, you have a cookie fund. Nearly everything they do includes camps and scholarships for 3,500 girls and 20 full-time employees. So they applied for the Paycheck Protection Program. It's the PPPL. I think I said PPL. It's PPP loan. And, boy, you didn't think about that, right? Of course, they have full-time people working there. It's always a feeding frenzy. It's all about that with the cookies. And then good luck trying to figure out, oh, we got these staffers. You know, again, what are we going to do? Because of the virus, one sector that certainly has been hit hard is retail stores. And they're talking about retail stores that could close by like 2025. So they may reopen, but you got people that are online shopping more than ever. Not that that wasn't already happening, but it's happening even more. So that just kind of pushed that number in a different direction. Like, think about malls and the fact that malls were already becoming sort of a thing of the past, but now you have, you know, clothing, electronics, home furnishing, online shopping is big enough that that's increased online in that particular area to 25% of retail sales that shot up from 15%. So they saw a 10% increase. And I think some of those things continue. I don't know that people will shop as much in going to stores when they're used to now the online thing. I mean, I could be wrong, but it seems to me that more people are going to do things that are, even if you want to get out and things lift, etc., it's still going to be that slow play. The hand is a slow play. And because of that, I think that just increases the popularity of, oh, well, we're getting a ship for free. So, you know, what are we doing anyway? There's lots of arguments about colleges and going online and, boy, should we really have to pay the full freight if it goes online versus us physically being there, meaning the college students. Harvard is going to have a Harvard. Now, notice how people always change their voice when they say they went to Harvard. I know people that went to Harvard. I had a friend. Oh, never mind. I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. It's a good story. I'll tell it another time. I'll have her on the show, and you would be surprised to know who she is. So Harvard is going to have a fall semester, but the details are kind of murky. The university is saying it could impact how other schools move along in the fall. There are other schools that are saying, no, we're going to open in the fall and we're just going to have procedures to, you know, to keep people safe. But, you know, but how do you keep people safe? We go back to that same thing. Temperature checks, the distancing, that whole thing is the thing that has to happen. I mean, that's minimum. If that's what it's going to be minimum that will happen. All right, so let's move to a couple of other things. You know, the airlines, they're trying to figure out, okay, we have this time, the planes are parked in the desert, what are we going to do when so-called, they're already open, but very few flights. Southwest has the most. JetBlue became the first airline to actually require passenger face coverings. So that's what they're saying. They're saying that, listen, they're mandating the crew to wear the mask while working, and the same thing for the passengers. So it's going to kick into effect, boom, in a week. And that's one of the steps that you've got to do it. From checking in through deplaning, you have to wear a mask. And they're saying it can be a face covering of any kind of cloth that fits snugly against the side of your face. But they're going to look at that, and they're saying, what is the penalty if they don't do it? But it looks like they're wrestling with, well, then the passenger won't be allowed to travel without an adequate face covering. So, you know, getting onto these planes, it would surely seem that it would take longer for that to happen. Oil. Have you been watching what's going on with oil? If you want to know what's going on with the economy, look at the price of crude. I say that all the time, right? And home sales. So oil plunged 25%. And why is that 25%? Because storage. Fears that worldwide storage is going to be filled as the coronavirus pandemic continues. So, you know, you look at the price of Brent crude. I always look at that. It fell 6.76%. It settled in at $19.99. Wow. You think at one point it was up to 60-something. And that's how far down it's gone. I went to get gas today, and it was, 170. It was 170. I can't remember the last time it was 170. And, you know, you look at the oil industry, and so who gets devastated by that? That's where certain areas of the economy and certain cities get hit hard. Houston, that's it's just been a mind bender for them, because the same day that you have the price for U.S. crude falling to about, you know, what did I say, $19.99, 30 below zero, then you look at, you know, this is the energy capital of the world, some would say, and you've got the city that has to furlough employees. They don't know how many at this point. But they're saying it's the worst budget that they're going to ever have to deal with that they can imagine, because so much of that economy is beefed up by the oil industry in the region. When you look at what they have there and the companies that they have there and how they have thrived and done really well, and now they're getting torched because of what they rely on to fuel, pardon the pun, their economy. Boom. And I just got to say this because people keep asking me, hey, if you stream something, what are you streaming? What are you watching? And I will tell you, I was a watcher of Homeland, and Homeland just did its finale, and I thought, you know, it's that whole spy thing, which I like, and I read the spy books, and I like those kinds of movies and television shows. And I think it had a fabulous ending. So for once, something that I watched that had a finale, I'm going to say thumbs up, baby. It was excellent. The creators did a great job. Check out Homeland if you've never seen it. Hang with us. Fascinating interviews. Fascinating. Coming up next.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
US USA Radio News with Robin Walensky.
Thanks to our comprehensive strategy and extraordinary devotion to our citizens, we've had such tremendous support all over. We continue to see encouraging signs of progress.
President Trump holding a news conference outside in the Rose Garden, updating the country on the war on the coronavirus.
Cases in New York area, New Orleans, Detroit, Boston, and Houston are declining. Denver, Seattle, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, Nashville, Indianapolis, and St. Louis are all stable and declining. All parts of the country are either in good shape, getting better.
Taking a look now at your money, investors seeing green on Wall Street, the Dow gaining 358 points to close at 24,133. The NASDAQ up 95, the S&P 500 gaining almost 42 points. You're listening to USA Radio News. Georgia Governor Republican Brian Kemp defending his decision to begin phase one of reopening businesses and getting Georgia back on its feet after weeks of being closed due to the coronavirus. Kemp responding to a question from an NBC News reporter about the data he used to justify reopening, as some say it's way too soon because the state has done very little testing.
Can you tell us specifically what data you used to determine that this was the safest choice?
Well, I know it may be hard for NBC News to understand this, but all the data is publicly available on the Public Health Department's website. As I've said before, I made those decisions in conjunction with Dr. Toomey and many, many other people following the data, and there's a lot of data that we're following. I mentioned a lot of it today about our ramp-up and testing we're doing.
To date, Georgia down toward the bottom, ranking 42 out of the 50 states for the least amount of testing done. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
We welcome Larry Levin. He's written a book called The Leon Lewis Band. And boy, oh boy, does this will take some of you back. And for others, you will love really reading and diving into this historical novel that is a narrative of a rock band during the 60s and 70s. So thanks so much, Larry, for joining us.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
I just scratched the surface, so let's dive deeper into that. Tell us more about the book.
Well, it's sort of an odyssey of a band. Starts out with the first chapter is the stories narrated by Jackie Klein, who was best friend and fellow band member in the Leon Lewis Band. It starts out with Jackie describing how he met Leon, the neighborhood they grew up with, their families, and trying to give a set of framework of what emotional issues these guys are dealing with that inspires them to be musicians. Lee's father is a kind of a frustrated jazz saxophonist, and he wants Lee to play the saxophone, and Lee loves rock and roll, and so he goes off and travels the country, comes back a few years later, a much more seasoned musician, and he hooks up with Jackie, who's playing in a house band in a little cafe in Greenwich Village, owned by two of the band members, the bass player Zola and the drummer The Flow. blows him away with some of his songs and his performances, and the Leon Lewis Band is formed, and then they travel around the country, and they have all kinds of interesting adventures. Along the way, their first tour, they meet Catalina Blake, who's this beautiful Latina journalist who loves the band. Lee and her fall in love, and they have a love affair. And then she has a whole subplot that takes place where Catalina's father, his estranged father, has a whole history of being involved in as an asset for the CIA. And he draws her into a plot to rescue his brother, who's a radical priest in Guatemala, and a kind of little side plot that connects the political and the personal in the story.
I love that. And of course, any good writer knows that you write about what you know. You were in a band. You were a drummer. You have a passion for music. And, of course, Central America, also, you've spent some time, well, in a lot of different places, but that's one of the places for sure. So what was it like bringing these characters to life based on what you already know?
Well, it was a fascinating adventure. I started out drawing a lot on my own personal experiences, the first chapter, my own family, and so I'd get an idea of a character, and I would just build around that idea, and amazingly, the stories just kind of unfolded, and the characters sort of become real, and they kind of help you along the way writing the story. And so, you know, the Jackie and Lee, I think, are kind of parts of me. The other characters are taken from people and events that I've witnessed along the way throughout the years, and just thought they would be good characters to be in the band.
Yeah, and you can tell that. You know, it's a historical novel, like I said, the Leon Lewis Band. Larry Levin is the writer, and of course you can look it up and pick it up on Amazon or wherever great books are sold. So you've got to give us one of your stories. Tell me something about drumming. You and I talked off the air. We had a great conversation, and you went to Michigan State, and that's where you played in a rock band, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I was back in the late 60s. I lived next door to some guys that had a band, and they'd play in their basement, and I'd hang out with them, and every chance I got, I'd hop on the drums and kind of practice with them. And when the drummer left, I wound up being the drummer for the band. It was, you know, it was fun. We did local gigs around town, and we actually won a contest on the radio for best local, you know, band, upcoming band, and we got to play in Detroit, a big theater opening up for some well-known groups, and it was really fun. And after a while, this kind of band broke up, hassles between the guitar. The rhythm guitar started getting better, and he wanted to do more leads, so there were conflicts about different things, a couple of bad acid trips here and there that freaked people out. And eventually I graduated and moved out to California.
So when people read this, I mean, this is life, and it's based on so much of what you've seen and observed in human behavior. What do you hope that they take away from reading the book?
Well, a couple of things that I kind of had in my head about. I wanted to present a more grounded perspective of that era. You know, you hear stories about famous rock bands and the decadence and the self-destructive behaviors. And, you know, so this band is not, they're not at the same popularity level as the Beatles or the Rolling Stones. They're sort of a middle, you know, they have a sort of a definite almost following, but they're not super well known by the general public, perhaps. So there's a more grounded perspective of the era. and I go through, sort of, like I said, it's sort of like an odyssey. I go through the different aspects of that era. You know, the manager is this country hippie guy with all the hippie slang, out of sight, far out, knock my socks off, you know, all that. He loves the band. He's as much a fan of the band as the manager. And he sets up their first tour of the U.S. They do an outdoor concert on a college campus. And he takes them to his hometown, and they witness some real country life. You know, he plays on the local baseball team. They go out to a bar, and they're dancing, you know, with the locals. And then he has this little house, this little place that he built on his parents' property. And some girls come over, so there's sort of like a groupie sex scene there, you know. And then there's this commune in town where the university was. And Zola, the young gal who lives in this place, is sort of a bunch of hippies and freaks and oddballs, and they get involved in that. And Zola and this girl Haley, they kind of fall in love, and there's a controversy about that because the place is kind of a weird commune kind of thing that has, you know, people run around in the nude. They have a group marriage there that they witness, and then there's some articles about, you know, make it into some kind of cult kind of thing, and much different than it really was. So they have that kind of adventure. Then they go out west, they travel around, and then they meet Catalina. Now, the scene with Catalina is really interesting, I think, because Lee's mother suffers from severe mental illness, and she goes into manic episodes and gets really irrational, psychotic, delusional, and she's caused a lot of havoc in the family. So Lee doesn't want her calling and interrupting his show, you know, while they're on the road, so he gives instructions that don't let them know. Don't let my parents know how to get in touch with me, you know. She finds out how to get in touch with him, and she calls the hotel where they're staying in Austin, Texas, and she leaves a message that Lee's father died. Freaks him out, and he calls her, and she's on the phone, and nothing happened. She just uses it as a ploy to get in touch with him because she feels abandoned. And so Lee's all revved up, and he does this show, and he's just really dramatic. And, you know, he's known for dancing along the stage and sliding along and doing all kinds of long, emotional guitar solos. And they do a version of Van Morrison's song, Listen to the Lion, that becomes sort of a signature song for the band, and they really get into it. It allows for a lot of call and response on the saxophone between Lee and Doc, who's the multi-instrumentalist keyboardist, also plays saxophone. And so he's doing this show, and they notice this gal coming up and is really into it. She's dancing all around. She's up front stage. And so their manager notices, he brings her backstage, and she has an interview with the band. Turns out she's a journalist, loves the band, has been following them, knows all about their history and stuff. And so her and Lee hit it off, and then they become a couple. And so that emotion, that scene where Lee's really into it and the band is really rocking, and then they make that connection. So I try to, you know,
paint that picture.
I try to suggest how his family situations, the emotional, is transferred to the music.
Yeah, and that's really what this book is all about. I feel like I want to go see this band, the Leon Lewis Band, Larry Levin. We may see this on the big screen. We might see it on the small screen. I have a good feeling about that. I'm not going to divulge any of the details. We'll see. Fingers crossed for Larry. Larry, thank you so much.
Okay, you're quite welcome.
We're at a party. And here's my fella again. Someone reached in and grabbed it.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea builds the red corpuscles in our blood, which bring oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves, and cancer dies in oxygen. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
This is a pandemic survival alert, and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone, or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meatpacking plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Starting. 383.
66. He's got the best seat in the house and the best sense of humor. Editor-in-chief of Baseball Digest, Rick Cerrone, joins us. You know, his history, we talked to him before. He was the VP of Public Relations for the Pittsburgh Pirates from 87 through 93. Can you imagine the stories? Senior Director of Media Relations from 96 through 2006 for the New York Yankees. Seriously, the New York Yankees. I'm just going to give you a clue. Think Steinbrenner. And yesterday I went to my mailbox and I was so thrilled. A lot of you know my story and what it took to get on the other side of the mic and sort of break the glass ceiling, even though so many guys in sports were amazing to me and helpful to me, like Mark Chernoff, who gave me such a great break at WFAN. And you all know that history from my book. Well, talk about making history. For the first time in the 79-year history of Baseball Digest, a woman in a major league uniform on the cover, and not just one, it's actually two, and both popped the coaching ranks with their organizations this year. I'm giving you hints. San Francisco Giants and the New York Yankees. Rick Cerrone, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Kate, and thanks also for giving me the title to my book, if I ever write one, The Best Seat in the House, though I've got to think that was taken at some point.
Yeah, I used to say I have the cheap seats. I'm in the media. Cheap seats.
I really had the best seat in the house, because when you're sitting in the front row of the press box, Nobody's sitting in front of you. So you got a countertop. It's amazing. So TV monitor, best seat in the house.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm going to go down a quick rabbit hole. When you talk about the press box at Yankee Stadium, old Yankee Stadium, mm-hmm. I covered the Rangers and the New York Yankees in the playoffs, which was a shocker that the Rangers got there, and we knew the Yankees were going to knock them off. So I was there traveling with the Rangers, and everybody was great to me in New York because, of course, I'm from the area, and they treated me like royalty. I was the only one. All the writers were furious at me. But I was doing shows, and I was practically the only one in Yankee Stadium because we did them late, and it was so wild to just have that perspective of being in the press box and being alone with just a couple of crew guys and seeing what that looked like. It was absolutely amazing. So you really did have a good seat. There's no question
about
that. I
really did. And you talk about, you know, back then when you sort of broke the glass ceiling, and now, you know, jump ahead. I think the amazing thing about this, if I can take a second, is that this started out with Rachel Balkovec, who was hired by the Yankees, the first woman to be in a uniform. She'll be the hitting coach at Class A Tampa. And then 2 weeks later or so, the Giants hired Alyssa Nacken to be a major league coach. So we started out with the intention of one woman in uniform on the cover, and fortunately ended up with two wonderful young women. And it brought me back to 1959, when Baseball Digest had a woman in uniform on the cover. But the uniform, jersey only, was of the Las Vegas Dunes Hotel, and she was a Vegas showgirl and the daughter of a former major league pitcher named Rip Sewell.
Wow.
And, you know, the story, they actually wrote in the story, and I'm paraphrasing, but because baseball is available only to male offspring, these lovely ladies have to find their success in other fields. So
wow.
Jump ahead 61 years, you know, not anymore. I can't tell you how proud I am and everyone at Baseball Digest is that we were able to portray these two major league coaches on the cover of our magazine.
Yeah, so the decision that went into that, what made you decide, okay, I'm going to do this because it's about time, they've earned it, this is intriguing, what was it?
You know, I think that's it, Kate. It's time. I mean, we're always looking for something on the cover. I mean, now I'm working on July, August. I can't tell you what I'm thinking. But based on the situation and what we're living through right now, I've got some ideas what needs to be the cover. I mean, it can't just be, you know, will Anthony Rendon make a difference to the Angels? Because we don't know even when the season, if there is one, will start. So it needs to be something special. And I was basically told, for this issue, you know, think outside the box, not the same old road that, you know, this player or that player would. And, you know, when Rachel got hired, I made a call to Brian Cashman, who I worked with obviously for many years, and just his enthusiasm about the idea and his, you know, cooperation and whatever, you know, like his cooperation was basically whatever you need. Well, you know, we need the author of the piece, Allison Footer from MLB.com, to have access to Rachel. Done. We need a photo shoot. Done. So, you know, and then, as I said, a couple weeks later, the Giants announced that they were hiring Alyssa as a major league coach, and we added her and other women as well. You have the issue, so you'll read the story. There are other women in on-field roles, and we kind of use these two ladies as kind of like, you know, the focal point.
Yeah, I mean, the reaction to this, and it's just coming out, so I think you're going to get waves of reaction, but initial reaction from some people who have already seen it.
Oh, I think it's been spectacular. I mean, anybody that I've sent it to, and yesterday we sent out, the cover and a lot of press releases to media, and I'm getting responses like, you know, wow, unbelievable, thank you. I got a nice response from Rachel via Twitter. You know, I guess you can personally send someone a Twitter thing. And she could not have been more excited, and she told me how excited Nike was, because apparently she's wearing a custom-made female uniform.
Yeah.
And Nike looks at it, and her words were, they're looking at it like a historic moment for Nike. So I'm like, wow, I didn't think of that. But, you know, it's, I mean, look, it is historic, because I'll also tell you that, and I've done a lot of research on this, So this is clearly the first time that a woman in a major league uniform has been on the cover in our 79-year history. Because you had Sally Sewell in her Dunes jersey in 1959. In like 1944, there was a cut-and-paste job with a Hollywood starlet who was made to be, appearing to be standing behind the pitching mound while I think Hal Newhouser was throwing a pitch in like a spring training or something. But obviously that was a cut and paste job. But this is the first time in our 79-year history that a woman in a major league uniform has appeared on the cover. But if you think about it, when has a woman in a major league uniform, a woman in baseball, and it may not a model, not a, not Shakira, not Madonna wearing a Dodgers jersey or Beyonce wearing it, when has a woman in baseball been on the cover in a major league uniform in any magazine? I don't think it's ever happened.
No, I can't. And I'm wrapping my brain. I was doing that yesterday. I was thinking Sports Illustrated. Well, I was trying to think, and I couldn't figure any. I don't think so.
Well, I will tell you that in 2013, Kate Upton is on a cover with the Upton brothers. You get the, what they were going for there, on the cover of a 2013 Sports Illustrated. And she's on their shoulders, and she's wearing a full Atlanta Braves uniform. But clearly, that's not a woman. She may be now married to Justin Verlander, but it's not what we're going with. Not a woman in baseball, so to speak, a coach, or something right. like that. So I, give props to Kate Upton. She's the only other one I've found.
Wow, incredible. All right, quickly, we'd be remiss not to tell everyone this. Make sure you pick up this magazine. It's a great magazine anyway. Rick Cerrone, editor-in-chief of Baseball Digest, making history with the women, two incredible women coaches on the cover for the first time in the 79-year history of Baseball Digest. Where are we at with baseball? What do you think happens?
Well, I'm telling you this, and I say this to everyone I talk to. I am telling you this with authority. You can take this. Because I've got authority on this, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows anything. baseball is working on an umpteen number of different scenarios. If it starts on this date. We just don't know. I mean, I like to think baseball is going to start to some degree, I want to say in July. I like the idea of split seasons. Where the first season, the first half, which gets division winners, is to be played in front of, in spring training parks with no fans, but announced that the second half, starting on whatever date it might be, is going to be back in the major league parks, and then you split the seasons with the All-Star game. Heck, I've had people tell me that's a great idea. I don't know if that's feasible, but, they're looking at, and I'm sure they're looking at that or something close to that. So, I think we're in good hands. Look, there's things to be negotiated here, because if you're playing in front of no fans and you lose revenue, I don't think baseball is going to be able to compensate the players with their regular salaries. That might be the sticking point right there as to why we don't play.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I think there will ultimately be a level of cooperation. Players are going to understand that people are not going to tolerate holding out for your, millions of dollars when, people are out of work and whatnot. But there are a lot of logistical issues that they're dealing with, and you just have to, I feel very comfortable that we're in good hands with the people making these decisions.
Yeah, I agree with you. Rick Cerrone, always a pleasure to have you on the show, editor-in-chief of Baseball Digest. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kate. Always a pleasure.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now's the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.